Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, Derrick Henry, where'd you go? You'll be on the ground while the Bengals plug in holes. Sloppless hits and stunts got you down by one and more. T. Higgins and T.I. on the sidelines just for show. Dripping in finesse, I can never let go. We got the puppets and Bridget. We're the number one Bengals podcast, baby, yeah. We got the puppets and Bridget. We're the number one Bengals podcast, baby, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we are the number one Bengals podcast. That is
wow.
True.
Wow.
John is the number one Bengals podcast.
Yeah, he deserves a Grammy for that.
We are in his ecosystem.
Yeah.
The show can't afford 1738, but shout out to Fetty Wap for predicting Derrick Henry's stat line from yesterday, 17 carries for 38 yards. Great job.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, he did run hard. He did. I think he had a lot more success than we anticipated. But he's no Samaje Perine. And Perine was picking up yards when he needed them the most. I mean, that guy was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful watching him. Welcome to the Number One Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Eddie McDuke. I'm
joined. Yeah, once again, when the running game works, the rest of the game works. The rest of the team, the rest of the offense works. And I think that's the important lesson.
Yeah, you should be working. I agree.
You should be working. I think this is a good episode. And first off, thank you, Matthew, for the HR Appreciation Day. No one has cared, but I think John's rap, I'm going to take that as HR Appreciation Day because that was just really good. So Hoji, the run game, solid. And I know that gives you a little bit more time in the pocket. You can do more with your pass game, but we've got to talk about a lot of different phases of this team today because everything was fire. Yeah. Everything was fire, except maybe special teams holding all the dang time on, some of those kick returns. But other than that, this team played fire. Wasn't a blowout win, but it was gritty. It was grimy.
It was pretty. I enjoyed it. I mean, it wasn't the kind of thing where you're on your edge of your seat all game long. It's second half. We were in control. Defense was hardcore. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this game. I enjoyed watching it.
John.
I mean, talk about setting the tone. I mean, that kind of gets overblown sometimes, but never is it more apparent when you just stiff arm the defense's best player into the really poorly grown grass, I should add. Really bad field in Tennessee. And Samaje Perine made David Long Jr. taste it with his face on the very first play of the game. There were some anemic offensive struggles early on. And yeah, Bridget was right. There's a lot of penalty yardage in between there.
Wow.
But
look at that.
This team
right
is a second
face.
It's a second half team, man. And it did just enough to keep it in, to keep the game in control in the first half. Like, Tennessee wins with game control, right? It's like, yeah. it's an uglier version of what the Browns typically do to the Bengals, and the Bengals didn't let that happen this time. They had the better quarterback, and they actually came out on top.
And there are a lot of people to appreciate. There are a lot of plays to appreciate. P. Ryan had a great game. Our receivers, without Jamar Chase, they're stepping it up. They're doing great. All of that is true, but all eyes were on Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow did not disappoint. If you watch this game, there were moments when Joe Burrow, to me, looked like one of the best quarterbacks of the past 10, maybe 15 years. I watched him basically. Have you guys ever heard the phrase threading a needle? Have you guys ever heard that phrase? It refers to when you take a little piece of thread and you put it through the eye of a needle. And if you looked at that pass to Boyd, if you looked at the few passes that day, he was threading needles. It was going right through the hands of defenders and right to the hands of his own players. What else do you want from the guy?
Nothing. I mean, John, you're right. It was a little anemic at the beginning. So I was there. I was sitting up in like almost row 1 million, up way at the top of windy, cold, crappy field, Nissan Stadium. And it was, I mean, the energy.
You drove there or flew there?
Drove.
Okay.
I mean, drove down on Friday. So okay. Had ourselves an
Nashville. So you don't have a private jet?
Most certainly not.
Good, good. Saving the environment. I get it.
You've met Daddy-O.
Yeah.
Now I've lost.
You
my
were
train
at Nissan.
Thought.
You were going to Nissan. It was a cold day.
It was cold.
All the way. You went by car. And there you were. There you were. And there were fans all around you. Some of them were from Tennessee. Some of them were from Cincinnati.
Those are all things that are accurate. But I feel like so that's everything you'd want from Burrow. A little bit anemic. I will absolutely fall out of my chair.
Now, just for the people who don't know, because some of us know, some of us don't know, who is Nemec? You said a little bit of Nemec.
Anemic. It's
a little bit anemic. So who is Nemec? And maybe we should get more of him out there.
Well, no, we should get less of him out there. That's when it's not very strong, you know, like when you have weak blood.
Oh, okay.
You're the health guy.
I'm a doctor, yeah, but I don't deal with those kinds of conditions.
So anyways, if I need my I'm speaking mug, we've got to talk about the defense too, because the way that they were able to stop Henry, and if you compare the box scores, it looks like Pirine is the elite rusher on this team, in this league, and that was when the magic was happening at the game, was watching those defensive stops. And I was trying to make a list of all the great defensive plays, and I was like, you've got Hilton, Hubbard, Reader, Wilson, like everybody was just on it. Mike Hilton on that, we need the one where Mike Hilton just comes out of nowhere and smashes Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But this was just another epic win on every side of the ball.
It's a team that looks to me, and I know this is going to be a controversial statement, but I'm known for not holding back. It's a team that looks to me more polished than they even looked last year. They look more with it. The plays look more planned. The decisions look more wise. And our quarterback looks more old. In a good way.
Let's be honest, John. Joe Mixon obviously was out this game. And P. Ryan, I've been a fan of his for a while. But John, Travion Williams has not really contributed. You know, he hasn't gotten the chance or he hasn't seen the field very much. And even he was having a big game behind this offensive line.
Yeah, big game. I mean, he had two carries.
Yeah, two good carries, John.
Two good carries.
He had one good catch. John. One good catch.
Look at this run. Just look at that.
He's running.
Run. Look how he's running forward.
I love the high knees. You know, that's what I do when I need to use the bathroom and there are kids in my way. I do the high knees and they just get out of the way. You got to do high knees.
He had this catch, John. Look at this catch.
Like the catch more than I do the run.
A little bit high of a throw. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he was about to get sacked too.
The point is, John, what we're noticing with the more consistent offense is largely because of the offensive line. You know, I mean, I don't know what the numbers say, what the statistics say, but Joe Burrow is comfortable with this offensive line.
Yeah.
Much more than he was last year.
Well, this game was the exact same as the playoff game. The only difference being, instead of being sacked 9 times, Burrow was sacked once. He was hit 4 times. Yeah. There was that one play early in the game. I believe the Bengals, it was one of their many drives. They were pinned back next to their own end zone. And Burrow got sacked. The pocket kind of collapsed from the middle. The drive ended up stalling. It looked like it was on track to be that sort of day because they had nothing really going for them offensively. And they moved the ball in similar ways like they did in that playoff game. They had a lot of deep out routes to T. Higgins that eventually ended up taking over the game. And their running game was decent enough. It was good enough with Joe Mixon last time. This time it was Samaje Perine just grinding out those tough yards. The difference was, like you said, Daddy-O, it was a very solid performance from this offensive line. The Titans were down two of their best edge rushers in this game, which should be noted. But Jeffrey Simmons is still out there. Mario Edwards is still out there. He had a sack. I think he had the lone sack in this game. He was their best pass rusher. That was the biggest difference. Instead of Burrow fighting for his life and trying to win a playoff game after being sacked many times, you had Burrow more comfortable in the pocket and able to eventually take over in the fourth quarter. 80 fourth quarter yards from T. Higgins on three catches, including that touchdown where he just overpowered poor Roger McCreary, who's basically your size, Daddy-O, playing quarterback. It was just the best players of the game taking over when it mattered.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It's the kind of game you want to see.
Yeah. And the kind of attitude you want to see. And just, I love, everybody loves this clip right here.
Yeah. Fuck you. Right up yours, Tennessee. Fuck you.
I thought I censored that.
I didn't know.
I thought you were going to censor that too.
I guess that's
I'm glad
the
you
wrong
didn't.
Version. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know we were allowed to play that.
The money for this show. There we go. Yeah.
The write up yours, Tennessee, was about as edgy as I thought we were allowed to get.
Right around the corner. He's saying this win came from your own home, basically.
Yeah.
What was the interpretation of the F word that he said there?
He didn't listen. YouTube censorship. That is not what you didn't hear what you think you did.
No.
That is the where is Ted Karras from? That's that accent, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think he's from America.
It's an American accent, but you know,
good old Indian accent.
Yeah. Look,
Daddy, you seem to have a little bit of the anemic in you too today. What's up, man? You seem usually after a win, you're all pumped up, you're ready to go, you're full of gas. But today, not so much. You seem you got a little bit anemic in you.
Well, honestly, it is more about the fact that
get some of that Karras energy.
I wish I could, but they would shut us down. The YouTube censors would shut us down.
I'd smack him in the hand with a helmet if we were in the same room.
You know, I want to talk about John. You mentioned T. Higgins, and he had some beautiful catches. But obviously, I would say, John, and I said this before the season, Hayden Hurst is a superior athlete and a superior receiver to whoever the guy was we had before. I don't remember his name anymore. I honestly
don't. It's unimportant.
Something Taylor or something. I don't know. But that guy, you know, he was okay. But Hayden Hurst is an upgrade. And you look at some of these catches.
He hurts so good.
He does. So look at this catch here, over the middle, right? Exactly what you want to see. He lowers his head.
How is it? Have you noticed that his arms look like legs?
Yeah. John, have you noticed that, John?
I have noticed they're big. I know what arms look like. They look like Hayden Hurst.
It looks like he has four legs.
Does he have shoes?
Two
on
the bottom and two on the top. And I think that's his secret.
Oh, you're just saying he's a dog.
No, human, very human, but the arms are like the size of legs.
Four-legged human.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to show you. Speaking of four-legged, he broke like five tackles on this play, John. One, two, three, four.
One for each leg.
That's like eight.
Nine tackles.
Yeah.
Well, he's not an octopus, but
amazing. Where did they find this guy, John? And then
Atlanta.
Whatever. Look. The other thing is this, John, we have this guy who we added out of nowhere. Signed him off the street.
Found him in the alley. Signed him to a deal. That's actually the story of how Daddy and I got together. We found each other in an alley.
We had no idea about his heritage, who his father was. And
he was just in a basket with a little note that said, love me.
And here he is, John. Uh, Amazing. Wow.
Higgins
catch.
He's stealing the crocodile hunters.
Well, he's the crocodile Higgins. Hunter's son, which yeah. you see, that's the John, running thing. He's
look,
the crocodile.
Look,
that wasn't there when.
Did you get that, John?
I mean, if I was Irwin, I'd be mad at you. Like, you just had T. Higgins play my music.
No, that was... Oh, was that T. Higgins?
That was.
That was T. Higgins, yeah.
Wait, no, that was...
That was Irwin.
That was
the
Irwin.
The first one had... Whatever.
Yeah,
that's
are you
T. Higgins.
Are you proving
that's
my point?
That's
that
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, I mean,
I realize they look the same.
Wait,
yeah.
Hold on. Let me clarify. They're obviously twins, and they are both children of Steve Irwin. I think we knew that from the get-go.
I didn't, but that, yeah.
Did anyone
Steve Irwin
that?
Had two children.
Yes.
They both happened to be on our team.
And I think we found, did we find Trenton Irwin in an Apple store? Did anyone see this? He was like doing, he got benched in high school for doing Apple, like, or a Microsoft. I know Apple and Microsoft are two different things. And I don't remember which one it was, but he's like an actor that like long locks. That's where we found that guy. Not a baby in a basket and like at a laptop being cool.
He almost seems like the kind of guy that would invade your village coming off of a boat. And burn it down, but
that's
in a nice way.
That's what Hayden Hurst seems like, not Trent Irwin. Irwin's
no,
like
one of them. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. They both look exactly the same to me, to be honest with you.
Now I need to figure out which clip here was the other Irwin angle. I don't think I did.
Can I just make a comment, an observation?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at this game. And I'm imagining any NFL team watching the way the Bengals manhandled the Tennessee Titans. The team looks together. Burrow looks better than ever. The defense, oh my Lord, that defense. The Bengals defense is still the highlight of this team. They are still the stars of the show. I don't care what you say. That defense is impenetrable. They sack when they need to, and they cover beautifully. It's the best coached defense in the NFL. Now, I'm imagining... The Chiefs, looking at our footage, I love the fact that we intimidate the Chiefs, but can you imagine how intimidated the Chiefs, this great team, is having to play the Cincinnati Bengals? Who would have thought 5 years ago that we would be in the position where the Chiefs are watching us, shaking in their boots, you know, intimidated by the Cincinnati Bengals? This is a really wonderful place and time to live, to be alive.
I would say for this game, the Bengals, or at least anyone knew, that Ryan Tannehill was not beating this team by himself. And if you look back at that game in January, there were a lot of injuries that the Bengals had at defensive tackle. They weren't full strength, and they still shut down Derrick Henry, largely from DJ Reader. Now they had a full rotation, stable of interior players. Their linebackers played phenomenal. The entire front seven did exactly what we expected them to do against Tennessee's offensive line, which, by the way, is worse than the one that they faced previously 11 months ago. So this game, I feel like defensively, they performed up to expectation, and we knew that they were going to hold Tennessee to however many points they ended up scoring. Next week, though, that's the big challenge because they still have a rookie in Cam Taylor-Britt, a cornerback, who still gave up a big play in this game to a rookie Treylon Burks. That was the biggest play that the Titans had aside from the fumble that ended up being a touchdown against the Chiefs, against that offense that is still thriving even without Tyreek Hill. That's the biggest thing. Can they hold up without having these miscommunication errors that they've struggled with on and off ever since Taylor-Britt has entered the lineup?
And I think the answer to that is yes, John. Yes, I think that Taylor Britt is the kind of guy, and you correct me if I'm wrong, he is a true athlete.
He is.
He is the full package. 100%. He is basically when you order something and you put the word supreme after it.
Yeah.
It's got the side of fries, and it's got the onion rings too.
It's got the chili.
It's got the vegan chili, and it comes with the extra drink. He has basically a four-dimensional, and I'm using four on purpose here because it's time and space, John, a four-dimensional athlete in the purest sense of the word. And yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he's going to live. He's going to learn. I think he's going to learn from his mistakes this game. But when you have a coach like Luana Romo, it's not hard to learn. Because if you look at the rest of the game, Taylor Britt was brilliant. One mistake, that don't matter so much. And you know what? I think that's the thing. We're going in with the upper hand to this game with the Chiefs. I think they're scared. They're intimidated. That's going to put some relief on the rookies like Taylor Britt.
Yeah, I mean, John, he is a rookie, which means this is his first year.
Okay? It's his first year. He's still a rookie. Yeah,
he's still.
Chiefs don't care.
The Chiefs
It wasn't even a mistake that he made. He just got just outbodied. You know, it just happens sometimes. But they got Travis Kelce. No one can guard him.
I don't think Britt will.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is we think about the defense for Sunday. It's really about how do you break up the mojo between Mahomes and Kelce. That's all I worry about. Kelce is some kind of superhuman player.
Come on.
That he was dropping
passes the second half of that AFC Championship game. They were
Him. Trey that was 11 Flowers months ago. He's 33 years old. He's still the best tight end in the NFL.
What happened to Trey Flowers, by the way, John?
And they, they're dynamic. John. We love Burrow to Bridget. Chase. I will not stop. I will not be silenced.
HR in the house.
Play John's rap again. No, I think that's what they're going to have to watch. They're going to have to figure out how to not play too soft to let Kelce just run all over the field. That's what we saw the first half, really, of both our divisional win and then the AFC Championship. That's where they need to focus. They can let Kelce have a little bit. They can't let Kelce run all over them. They can't play too soft. And they can't let him push his giant tight end body into the end zone. That's what they've got to be on the lookout for.
Say that on the
Who's the HR for HR?
You know, I got chewed out for saying end zone, my end zone language last time. Let me just say, I am, and I don't mean to show off, but I'm the only former quarterback coach on this team. This next game with the Chiefs, it comes down to Burrow versus Mahomes. And the beauty of it is we are so inside of Mahomes' brain because he is probably the greatest right now. Rodgers has a hurt thumb. Tom Brady is a sinking sun. And Burrow, while in my opinion the greatest, most people think of Mahomes as having more of a record and more achievements under his belt. That guy feels like he has to do well, and yet he's been beat by us so many times before. Twice last year, right? Didn't we beat them twice?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's lost to us twice, once in his homeland in the playoffs. Believe me, it doesn't matter who his receivers are. That guy's going to be off. This is my prediction. This is my horoscope. He's going to be off. He's going to be teetering. He's going to be like, why am I here? Where am I going? Why is the earth shaking around me? Because we're in his brain. And that's my horoscope.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. Yeah. Who we also have to give a little credit to, or at least celebrate. So, Kevin Huber is out. Drew Chrisman is in. I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I was incredibly worried about someone coming in after Clark Harris left in that sort of kicking trio, if you will, long snapper, holder, kicker. I was worried, okay, you've got Harris out. McPherson's been a little spooked by that. Chrisman coming in, I mean, Shooter's killing it. Like, the difference between having a kicker who makes all their field goal attempts and extra points and a kicker who doesn't, which is what we saw in whoever the Shoebach is or whatever his name is in Tennessee. I think we also have to remember that one of our lead scorers in Evan McPherson is back and he's confident and there's something really cooking there.
Yes.
And that's
his feet. His feet are cooking. Yeah.
Well, they're stirring it up and they're making a
smoking.
I don't know. He looks like he eats a turkey sandwich or something. So
little juice box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fruit snack maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snackables. He looks like a snackables kind of kid.
A Lunchable. Yeah.
He gave me that Lunchable thing. I love little kids. Yeah, we used to have vegan Lunchables.
Lots of
Hayden Hurst looks like the guy who shoves them in his locker.
That's true. O'Doyle rules kind of situation. Yeah.
Into a wooden locker, in a bowl.
So John, let me ask you about the Chiefs this year, without Tyreek Hill, they're more efficient. Obviously, Travis Kelce is a big part of the offense. Then they have like three or four guys who are second tier, third tier receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
mean, they don't have any stars. I wouldn't even say they have anybody who can approach Tyler Boyd. You know, Tyler Boyd would be the number one receiver, right?
I think T. Higgins too.
Well, obviously T. Higgins. I'm saying even Tyler Boyd. Maybe yeah. Trenton Irvin.
I think Kadarius Toney has a decent argument. He's a first round pick after all. And he just decided to start trying once he's now on a good team. So
he's doing well on there.
He's doing well.
Okay. Because yeah. I was saying, because, you know, whenever I think of Trenton Irvin. Do they have anybody that can do that? I don't know.
The crocodile catching?
Yeah. But, John, the point is this. What does their offense look like? You know, why is it so efficient? Is Mahomes playing under more control? You know, he's not playing backyard football as much? Or what's going on?
I don't even think that's true. I think when I watch them play, I see a lot of broken plays still and receivers coming back to the ball. They just have an understanding that whenever Mahomes breaks out of the pocket, it's find an open space. Get on that side of the field, work back to the ball, because the ball is going to get to you in a timely manner with a perfect spiral, because that's just Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He might be the best quarterback of all time. And yeah, he's done not so well in two second half performances against the Bengals. And you have to give Lou Anarumo a lot of the credit for that, but you have to give Mahomes his flowers and you have to expect him to absolutely want to prove himself in this game because what happened last year. It's a testament to how great he is to lose arguably the most game-breaking threat at receiver and still be as efficient as he is. Now, Travis Kelce being a 33, 34-year-old tight end and still the very best at what he does is insane in itself. And a lot of that production has come from Kelce's work after the catch, but that's still a connection that Mahomes sees. He's got one-on-one, just like Burrow sees any of his receivers who's got one-on-one when they're on the field, right? He knows that that's an alert for him, and he's going to look at him first to see if he's got any sort of leverage, if he can put the ball to where it needs to be. That's exactly what Patrick Mahomes does with Travis Kelce. And 9 times out of 10, it works because Kelce just has this separation ability for a 6'5", 250-pound tight end that you just don't see very often. It's a special connection that the Bengals have to focus on.
Could I interject here? Before I was a vegetarian, I remember I had a friend in Japan who was a sushi chef, and he came to America, and he was the talk of the town. Everybody thought he was the best sushi chef there is. And so I followed him back to Japan, and it was weird because he wasn't as great over there as he was here. It was a, lack of a better word, he was a big fish in a big pond over there. The Chiefs, because they're a great team, they get to play a lot of non-AFC teams. And they look really good when they do that. They look great against those teams. But I think what people forget is that right now, in my opinion, the heart of the NFL, the most competitive part of the NFL, is right here, the teams that the Cincinnati plays very often. And they're just better in a lot of ways. If you look at the teams that beat the Chiefs, look at the Colts. They beat the Chiefs. Look at another AFC team beat them too. I'm trying to remember what other team beat the Chiefs. There was another AFC team that actually beat them this year. I can't remember which one. And actually, even with the Titans, which we just played, they only beat them in overtime. So I don't think that the Chiefs are as great as we think of them. I think they have they just happen to have a much better schedule personally.
The Bills beat the Chiefs.
The Bills, yes, the Bills, another great AFC team, yeah. I mean, the Bills are what the Chiefs pretend to be.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Bills, John, what happened to Von Miller? Do we know?
I haven't heard anything since he got carted off, no.
Okay. Well, okay, so let us get to your predictions.
Me first?
John. Or? John.
John.
Why is it always me first? I don't want to go first.
Bridget.
I'm going to go. Sorry. Ben is over here making a lot of noise, so I was trying to mute.
What is Ben's prediction?
We don't want to know. You'll have to go to Facebook to find out, the social media platform of all the hip, cool kids. Okay, so I just checked the weather. Right now, I know we're 6 days out. It's showing a 30% chance of rain, high 41, low 31. I am going to go Bengals victory. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I know that's surprising, maybe with Mahomes' offense and Chase being back. I'm going Bengals 22, Chiefs 21.
I love it.
I like it.
I like it.
I'll go next.
Good prediction,
here.
Solid.
John.
I think.
Why don't you go next? Yeah.
Yeah, John. Well, thank you, Daddy-O. That's a great idea. I think you have to give the Bengals respect here for what they've been able to do against this team. I think there's an ease on their mind that they don't have to face Tyreek Hill, but that doesn't stop them from worrying about what to do with Patrick Mahomes. But it's beyond just a worry, right? It's a concern, but they have confidence in their ability because they've been able to do it for two games now. And that defense is starting to come together. It's starting to form chemistry within that secondary without one of their best players in Chidobe Awuzie. There will definitely be big plays. And I think it's fine to expect this team to just continue doing what they're doing, which is kind of find their way in the first half and then figure things out as the game goes on. That's exactly what happened in these two games. That's what happened against the Titans. It's what's happened in many games before this in this season alone. So I think you're going to see another second half comeback here for the Bengals. I'm going to say they win 24-20.
24-20, you say?
21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
OG, yeah.
I looked at the weather as well. Forecasts are predicting a 30% chance of Hude with a 20% chance of in the jungle with a 10% chance of nobody. And I believe that the home field advantage here matters. The last time that the Bengals faced the Chiefs, it was on their turf. And they got a little whooping. But now they're in our turf. And it's going to be a big whooping. And I foresee, in fact, I prognosticate here. I'm looking into the future directly. I'm looking into my magic ball, so to speak. And what I see is Burrow is on the verge of Burrowizing. He's been in a cocoon, but he's about to break through. And the wings on the back of Burrow's jersey are about to spread out, you know, in white and black and orange. And what you're about to see is Burrow become what he was destined to be, what was written in the scrolls in Bengal Mania of the past, which
so
is that he is the greatest quarterback of all time, the savior, the chosen one, the one that was called. And what you're going to see is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. 34-17 Bengals. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be an unforgettable game. And it's going to be, this is the important point, Daddy-O. It's going to be the beginning of the beginning for the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be this is like the roller coaster going up. Now it's going to go down. It's going to go down fast. And we're going to win. It's going to be amazing.
I see. I like that. But I will say this. I like
player of the game is going to be T. Higgins.
Oh, okay. So Joe Burrow is just going to be, okay.
Well, because you can't keep giving it to Joe Burrow.
Right. So look, I want to be positive. I love the fact that Eli Apple, he's held up. He had a good game against Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a couple of good games. He had some bad games. And we knew this and the Bills game were the most dangerous games for us.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I feel like that defense is going to get exposed. Meanwhile, that offensive line, you know, if we fall behind early and Chris Jones and those guys, they come after us and they're going to be very angry.
Yeah.
That offensive line could get exposed.
Yes.
So I do see the Bengals getting exposed, unfortunately.
And I don't like how many times you've said exposed.
Well, yeah, I thought we weren't supposed to talk about end zones. That's what you told me after the last time I had this conversation.
Yes, but I see them getting exposed to the tune of 34-31 Cincinnati.
Okay, hold on. Now, wait a minute. You just painted a picture as if being exposed was a bad thing. How is it that the Bengals are going to win?
No, see, this is the problem. Every week, you guys don't listen. Okay. When you take a picture, it has to be exposed to light so that you can develop it. The photographers and the media are going to be so enamored with the Cincinnati Bengals' performance. They're going to be taking a lot of pictures. Those pictures are going to be exposed.
Yeah.
And the Bengals are going to be all over the media. They're going to be all over, everywhere.
People on the cover of a Rolling Stone. I get it. Right. I love it. Yeah. Exactly. Expose us, baby. Expose us all the way.
Exactly. So, Bridget, really, all I can say to you as I search for the... There we go. is that that is all we have. So don't forget to subscribe to the number of
videos. Smash the like. Smash the like. You got to smash the like. You got to smash the like button. Smash the like. Put a comment in the thing with your cast a like.
And leave comments about
how much you like HR. Definitely leave that.
Yeah. A lot, because they can hire and fire whoever they desire.
Okay, you guys are having too much fun. Let's just end the show. We'll see you next time. So long, Sviti. Bye.
Yeah. Hot mic.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.